There are 10 public questions. Each question will be able to answer a supplemental question based on the answer received for their written questions. I will allow question time to continue until all questions of our questioners have answered their question. So can we begin with Nathan Griffiths, please?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a question of Councillor Sachin Shah. In the past, you have rightly shown support for the Vote for 16 bill proposed by the Member of Parliament for Holden, West and Royston, Jim McMahon. This indicates to me that you believe in giving young people a greater and more meaningful voice. As you may know, Jim McMahon broke new ground to give Holden Youth Council constitutional rights to propose motions and amendments at full council meetings when he was the award-winning leader of Holden Council. Last December, you told one of my colleagues that all people are equal. So I look forward to you now making the young people of Harrow equal with the young people of Oldham, as it falls under your remit as the leader of the council to propose constitutional changes. Can the young people of Harrow count on you to propose and support giving Harrow Youth Parliament's elected youth councillors the right to propose motions and amendments directly at full council?
Thank you for the question. You're absolutely right. I've always believed in votes at 16. It's something that I think is absolutely the right thing to do, and I'm proud that this group voted unanimously to support votes at 16 at the last full council. That wasn't the same for the opposition group. But and you're absolutely right, all people are equal, and I absolutely support that. And that's why I think the best way of getting young people able to move motions is for votes at 16 and for 16-year-olds to become councillors around this table, being able to move motions as councillors.
Thank you, Leader. And I'm really pleased that you are looking into alternative ways of enfranchising young people, because I have just the idea for everyone in this room. You have an opportunity tonight to pass a groundbreaking motion of your own to put Harrow Youth Parliament onto the cabinet. And I'm sure you and I have had many discussions and many different arguments that I won't retread today. However, I've got one of your own from February 2015, your description of why there was a strong reason for putting the voluntary sector on cabinet, presented by Councillors David Perry and Sue Anderson. As a member of your cabinet and former leader of the council, respectively, there should be authorities on this issue, you might think. Cabinet here in your document is described as the heart of all decision making in the council. It's designed as giving the voluntary sector the opportunity for greater scrutiny at major decisions. It says that it demonstrates the commitment to wanting to work closer with the voluntary community sector. It says that it will build a stronger working relationship with people across Harrow, and it says it will offer greater transparency around the workings of the council. Picture this. Change the wording fractionally from voluntary sector to young people, the people that, as you just said, you are the proponent and the person who stands up for them. Let's rephrase it in that sense. Making sure that young people are at the heart of all decision-making in the council, allowing greater young people scrutiny and making decisions, demonstrating our commitment to wanting to work closer with young people, building a stronger working relationship with young people, giving greater transparency around the workings of the council to young people. Leader, I'm having a conversation with you. You're talking to one of your colleagues. What I would say, if I may, if you here have outlined an excellent description, I believe you were in fact the manifesto coordinator for your party at the time. I have to commend the description that yourself and your colleagues have come up with for cabinet, because I can't disagree with a word of this. All I am confused by, though, is why you would apply this to the voluntary sector, adults who can go and vote in any local election. As an interest group, they can cast their vote. If they have a conversation with you and disagree, they can vote for someone else. Young people are the only interest group, who, if they have a disagreement with you, can do nothing about it. In the end, we can be involved in any level of the policy development process. But in the end, when that issue goes to cabinet, the heart of all decision-making in the council, and you ask, does anyone have any questions? Does anyone have any objections? Does anyone have anything to say on the record? Young people have no option to say, actually, leader, yes, we do. And that's why, as you've said, it is imperative that young people do have that opportunity to, at the heart of decision-making in the council, have the opportunity to have their say and have their opinion and get it across. Because you have, and I commend you for this, encouraged youth participation in most levels of policy development, with the exception of the final level, with the exception of cabinet and cabinet briefing. I ask you, leader, tonight, be a trailblazer. Lead the charge. Be a leader. I ask you to support putting young people on cabinet and encourage the rest of your group to do the same. God save you.
Thank you for that eloquent speech. Absolutely, I fully agree with the idea that young people should be involved. And your point about young people not being able to vote people out they don't agree with is absolutely right. And that's why a vote at 16 is so important, because it allows you that right. It means you can get rid of all of us if you don't like. And in fact, we could have a debate about why stop at 16. Why not go down even further? That is an interesting debate, and maybe at some point we should have a think about how far down you go. For young people, as is the case in many parts of the voluntary sector, I'm involved throughout the decision making process. That's where I think is the most important. That's where policy is formulated. By the time it gets to cabinet, decisions are written, and the big bulk of the decision has been made. And I would be happy to ensure that we make sure that young people and the voluntary sector and everyone is involved early on in policy making.
Thank you. No, it wasn't enough. I'm going now to Darren
Foody. I think the mic is on. And I'd just like to say good evening, everyone, and thank you to you, Madam Mayor, for allowing all of the questions which have been posed to be asked. I think, you know, a 15-minute time limit may sometimes be practical, but it is important that we hold everyone to account. And I'd like to thank you for helping the scrutiny process this evening and allowing residents to have their voices heard. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Robson, do you believe that the final revenue budget for 2018 and 2019 will benefit the young people of Harrods?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to be slightly turned away from you. I apologise. Hello, Dara. Thank you for your question. Oh, I will stand up. It's just I'm trying to adjust my height. I do apologise. Thank you, Dara. That's not a sign of disrespect to you or to Madam Mayor. I believe that the final revenue budget for 2018-19 is generous, because I think it enables growth of 2.9 million for children's services. As you know, this growth is based on our current data and intelligence around the needs of children and young people and their families in Harrow. But we recognise that the service as a whole is demand-led, as we have discussed with you in the past. This growth will enable good quality services to be delivered by the local authority in line with our Ofsted good rating. Young people in Harrow will continue to get good outcomes and benefit from these services, as was found in the inspection this time last year. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your response, Councillor. And it is interesting to see that you believe that this budget will be, in your words, generous, because there are quite a lot of young people that we've gone out to and spoken to who actually believe that this budget could be very regressive in terms of the effect that it's going to have upon them and the effect that it's going to have upon preventative services. Now, Councillor, I assume that you've read the quality impact assessments for tonight's budget, and therefore you'll be aware that in 2018 and 19, the Council is preparing to abolish a substance misuse treatment and recovery service for young people, a service which, in the words of your own budget, Councillor, will ensure that young people are this is what the service does at the moment before it's abolished, will ensure that young people are identified early and receive appropriate substance misuse treatment to prevent, where possible, the need for them to access adult substance misuse services. Now, as a result of taking that service out, the Equality Impact Assessment, which is put before us tonight, says that the decommissioning of these services will reverse current progress and cease the drug and alcohol provision and well-being of Harrow residents. And as a result of that, there will be a negative effect, as the Equality Impact Assessment says, on recovery for substance misuse patients who are both young and old, and it also says that it will reverse current progress in terms of working towards a joint safeguarding and domestic violence approach to identify the risk of alcohol-related abuse and crime and to provide those people who are suffering from it from support and treatment counsel. That is a saving which is going to generate quite a lot in the eyes of the council, and one which the equality impact assessments, which have been produced tonight by the officers, by the portfolio holders, by the councillors, and it says something different to what you've just said to me. So, Councillor Robson, can you explain to me and to the young people of our borough why it is that what you've just said to me now about the budget being generous seems to contradict the equality impact assessments which are included in the budget which you're likely to vote for this evening?
I will make sure I'm standing up this time, thank you. Again, Madam Mayor, I apologise. Dara, if only the world were full of the money that we need, the world would be a different place, as you understand. We don't want to make any cuts to anything, and we don't want to have to mop up after making any cuts to anything. We will do our best to deliver the budget that we can deliver, and we will do our best to deliver the services that we can deliver. But I understand your concern, and I absolutely respect your concern. But, you know, I'm just repeating yet again, if only we were not having such a huge cut to our resources from central government.
If only we didn't give 18,000 directors, and if only we didn't share the chief executive position to make statements like that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry. Can I now call Ella Hughes? I hope I've said that name correctly.
I'd just like to say good evening, councillors, and good evening, Madam Mayor. My question is to Councillor Christine Robson, the portfolio holder for children, young people and schools. My question is that, do you feel that the council is sufficiently supporting young people who have mental health conditions?
Again, thank you for my heart turning away. Thank you for agreeing to me doing this, Madam Mayor. Hello, Ilya, and thank you for your question. Yes, I do. We work with the CCG to remove a restriction on the making of referrals to the child and adolescent mental health service in Harrow. Previous to our doing this, the service was slowed down by all referrals and even through medical. So this has been an ongoing process. Our leader, Sachin Shah, is the chair of the Thrive London Board, which is an initiative that has just been launched to improve the mental health of all Londoners. Supporting young people presenting with mental health conditions at all stages is a priority for this council. You will know that it's something, an area that I worked in extensively for many years of my working life. We want to support young people with mental health conditions. It's a key priority of the council, and we will continue to develop initiatives and programmes in order to support young people at the lower and upper tiers of mental health referral. We've got Harrow Horizons, which continues to be successful in meeting the needs of young people who present with issues related to their emotional health and well-being. This service is jointly commissioned by the council and the CCG, and one of your members was part of the group that we consulted with on designing that service, on naming that service, and there was extensive consultation, and I think that was extremely successful, and we were very grateful to them for their input. There is a rise in more complex cases within the Children in Need service, but in order to help with that, we have commissioned a CAMHS professional to work within the council alongside social workers, and that will considerably enhance and improve the work that we can offer. We've also got another CAMHS practitioner who sits within the youth offending team. In addition to all this in-house provision, all young people who are arrested receive a mental health screening, which includes learning and development via the Youth Justice Liaison and division worker who is actually within YOP. We have thought about this. It's a comprehensive approach. It actually is throughout the entire service that we deliver. Thank you.
Thank you for your response, Councillor. But as a part for years 18-19, you yourself are planning to take out £42,000 out of mental health promotion, as well as another £38,000 from unemployment and health. And in the budget's impacting quality assessment, it says that 50% of all mental health illnesses in adulthood develop from before the age of 14. And if you plan to take out money to this extent, you're not improving the service, and you say yourself the service is arm's length. And if you're not putting enough money into the service, how do you expect the young people of Harrow to believe that you're doing a good job? And by seizing all mental health well-being investment would disproportionately affect children and young people, as there will be little coordinated approaches to preventing mental illness among this group. So what I'm asking you now is, why is there a disparity between your statement and the budget which you are voting on tonight?
And thank you for your supplemental, Ilya. I mean, what I find encouraging is the fact that I think you are beginning to see this in a more holistic way. And I think that's actually a really good move forward. But the things which you are referring to actually just fall within the purview of my particular budget. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be concerned. And again, I'll repeat what I've already said. In an ideal world, we wouldn't make any cuts at all to anything. We would improve and expand and make everything more comprehensive and more of it. But we are facing these colossal, thoughtless, punishing, mindless cuts, and we're happy to do the best we can. Thank you.
Could I call now Ibrahim Abdul?
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, councillors. My question is to Councillor Christine Robson. Councillor, do you believe that young people should be empowered?
Yes. Thank you, Ibrahim, for your question.
Yes.
For a while now, Harrow Youth Parliament has been positioning itself to best represent the young people that have elected us in and continue to elect us in. Whilst Cabinet isn't the be-all and end-all, a representative of ours on it, unable to vote, mind you, would allow us to enhance our current efforts in influencing the key decision-making process. Ultimately, that's what we're asking for. If you consider the current systems and processes that exist that we partake in to be good, then where is the harm in allowing us to enhance that and through doing so empower us and subsequently the young people who live in this borough?
Again, thank you, Ibrahim. I respect your opinion and thank you for the question. We don't agree on this, but that doesn't mean that I do not believe that the input that we get from the Parliament has not been extremely valuable. I mean, we have been involved in many things and we have found that extremely helpful. Most recently, the developing and thinking about the Life Chances Fund. And so I hope that we will continue to work this way because, as the leader has said, that's the stage at which things can most usefully be done. Thank you.
Orlaith Lindsay.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Madam Mayor, for providing us with this forum. I have to say, though, if only there was an alternative method of raising our constituents' issues with this council. I'm afraid I have another question for Councillor Christine Robson, and it does reiterate earlier conversations and sentiments, but having failed to receive an adequate response, I'm afraid I have to repeat the words of my colleagues, and indeed of myself in previous meetings. You mentioned in a response to my colleague, Dara Foody, that you believe there will be a £2.9 million growth in demand in children's services. But are you truly confident that there has been a comprehensive forecast regarding the estimated level of demand for children's services in 2018 and 2019?
Thank you all. I don't apologise for asking the question. Yes, I do believe that it's... that the number that we have quoted is correct. I have tremendous confidence in the ability of the officers
They are extremely professional, they're extremely careful in their predictions and in their monitoring of the work. It is impossible to fault the way that they actually plan, because the idea of what the budget level should be is implicit in everything that they do. So the pressure which reported at month 9 was 2.78, but the budget growth that we're going to get is 2.9. We can't actually overstate growth. It doesn't work within a council which is actually trying to work comprehensively together. And our budget is part of the general budget of the council. So I think the actions we've taken are correct. Thank you.
I'm glad you have such faith in Children's Services. But I was disappointed. You actually referred to me earlier as the youth member who helped set up Parent Horizons. And yet this council aims to cut 42,000 out of mental health, 38,000 out of unemployment and health, and abolish young people's substance misuse treatment and recovery. Has there been an impact assessment to reflect the cost and increased demand that this will result in upon young people's services?
Orla, I am a little puzzled by the numbers that you're quoting, and I do think there is a kind of feeling at the moment that mental health is a huge issue. My experience all my working life has been the disparity between funding for adult services, wherever that might be, and children's services. I think it might be better if I gave you a written answer, because the figures that you are quoting do not reflect my view of the way things are going. Thank you.
In the budget.
Thank you, Dr. Simonson, but I might have to refer you back to the budget that you're coming to.
Thank you, Ibra. And I'm now going to call Pranvera Mukherjee.
Good evening, councillors. What is your view on the number of vacant posts within the early intervention and youth development service in Scotland?
Hello, Pravina. Thank you for your question. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Okay. Again, sorry that I keep turning around. We talked about this quite a lot. The redesign of the early intervention service, which included the youth development team, was ended. It was concluded in 2017. We've got a different service now, which is the one that we've been building, which is the early support service. And that's part of our service redesign. That's a comprehensive service for children and young people from birth to 19 or 25, depending upon the different definitions, and their families. That incorporates the youth hub and youth staff. And I think it's really important to be clear about the vacancies that you are referring to. At the conclusion of the redesign of the early support service, two posts were frozen because, again, we had to manage cuts. And there were huge cuts of, I think, at that point, 682,000. Now, the posts have remained frozen for the time being, again, because we're having to fit within the limits of the cuts we had to find. And I don't know how many more times, I'm really not being, you know, difficult, but it's just made you understand, lots of people listening may not understand, we don't want to make any cuts. We never wanted to make any cuts. We have had cuts imposed upon us, and that's because of government funding shrinking. But this doesn't impact upon youth provision. There are no vacancies in the youth hub, and we're keeping a good level of service delivery. So, we wouldn't do this if we didn't have to.
Thank you for your response, Councillor. Well, unfortunately, you go on about cuts a lot, but I don't see how that relates to how this affects young people, because of your restructure of this service, you've cost young people the opportunity to go to this service, to access this service. And I know you talk a lot about cuts, but it was your restructure that caused this. It was the cuts. I can understand the cuts had a part to play, but it was mainly your restructure. And the fact that you've left these posts vacant is costing young people the opportunity to use this service, and that's just not acceptable.
Again, thank you for your thoughtfulness. There are boroughs where they have severely cut their early support service, what used to be early intervention, which includes all the youth services. There are boroughs where they've got none at all. We have kept going. We have kept an early offer. And again, we would have not made any cuts at all from choice. And our redesign actually has maximised the best use of the resources that we have. The design that was there before was something that had grown over the years, and actually all the bits didn't mesh together as well as they should have done. With a review, we were able to redesign it. We did make some cuts we would have liked not to have done, but we actually got a service which is working very well. Thank you. Daniel Anderson, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My question is directed to Councillor Graham Hanson. Following the positive news that Sudbury Hill Underground Station is to get step-free access, what is Harrow Council doing to ensure that other stations in Harrow are also made accessible?
Thank you, Daniel.
With your permission, can I face that way?
Cheers, mate. Yeah, it's the best time as well. We're always leading, so you're always following. But you know, it is encouraging, and whereas Boris Johnson cancelled step-free access schemes at the beginning of his office in 2014, Mayor Carn is bringing them forward in pledging an additional £200 million to make 30 stations step-free by 2021-22, taking the percentage of accessible stations on network from 26% to 40%. The Council and the London Assembly member have been lobbying strongly for Harrow and Hill to be step-free, and this additional funding has allowed TfL to bring forward delivery of step-free access at outer London stations like Harrow and Hill, which has been approved and design works are underway. The increased funding and better contract negotiations has allowed Sudbury Hill Underground Station to be added to the programme, which was recently announced. And we are in talks with TfL for other stations to be added to the programme, and we are expecting an announcement in the summer. We are also continuing our lobby for step-free access to Stanmore Station, which is not only the end of the Jubilee line, it's also the access point for the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital and the Aspire Centre. For too long, those with mobility impairments have had to take a convoluted route through the car park, and TfL have confirmed they are still exploring options to bring this forward. Mayor Carn is doing what he pledged to do, which will make the network more accessible for millions of Londoners, including those with mobility impairments and parents travelling with buggies. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the Councillor for his response, which satisfies my question, and I'm pleased.
I thought we were going to get a test and stuff like that.
An issue that's close to my heart, and I have no supplementary question.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. There's a slight deviation on my question. The deviation is concerning the last cabinet meeting where I mentioned that the highway of Camrose Avenue was resurfaced within 4 days. Thank you. The actual question reads as follows. Councillor Sachin Shah, Leader of Harrow Council, said how wonderful Harrow Council is run. This is not the case in Edgware Ward, where the council is using draconian measures in Methuen Road, Methuen Close, Overbrook Walk, Chandos Crescent and Buckingham Road. The parking restrictions are from 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday to Saturday. Parking in other wards in Harrow are generally 10 to 11 and 2 to 3pm and is working well. How many people agree to this scheme?
Well, thank you, Jack, and I'm pleased that you do like Camrose Avenue and resurfacing. The council does have a well-established process for developing and implementing schemes, which is comprehensive and focuses on engagement with the local community. And that process has been developed over a number of years by different parties within this council through TARSAT. The proposed Methuen Road area parking scheme has been subject to this extensive consultation. There was strong support for a scheme at the public consultation in 2017, when 81% supported the scheme and 67% supported the longer operating hours. However, at the recent statutory consultation stage, when legal notices are published, there have been some objections to the proposal, which are currently being considered by local ward councillors and myself as the portfolio holder. The final scheme has not been agreed, but any decision will take account of all of the consultations and representations received.
Does that mean to say that a legal implementation is going to take place within the next 3 months or longer?
Once we've considered all the responses from the consultation and then the decision we've made, what kind of scheme is implemented, it's quite clear from the consultation that some parking restrictions and controls are wanted by the local residents. It's the extent of those controls which is still being considered.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean to say that the whole area needs to be put on a draconian measure. Will they only do part of it with where the junctions are and not on the main roads? That is the main point I wish to make, because you're doing the whole roads and not only the junctions. Most of the junctions have already got double yellow lines. So therefore, you're bringing in this draconian scheme, or intend to do that.
You're talking outside of the consultation.
Excuse me, sir.
But you can't change the consultation once it's done. We can review a scheme after it's implemented. But if a scheme is agreed to move forward, then it will be notified and the scheme will be introduced.
Will there be a chance to be notified of the scheme which you're proposing before it's actually implemented, your revision?
Well, once the scheme has been agreed, it'll be published.
No, I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, can it be...
Mr. Welby.
Yes, Madam Chairman. Madam Mayor, rather.
Yes. The councillor has answered your questions quite fully, I think, and I'm sure this is a conversation that will continue in correspondence, but I think that we'll move on to the next question, which is from Peymana Assad.
Hello, thank you very much. Could Councillor Simon Brown please explain why Alexandra Avenue Walk-in Clinic in South Harrow is about to halve the number of patients that can use it? Thank you.
Madam Mayor, if I could turn slightly to the right, it will only be temporary, not permanent. Thank you. Thank you, Peymar, for raising this important issue. Firstly, I must say that as a council, Harrow Council, we do not have any direct responsibility in the provision of GP walk-in services at Alexandra Clinic. This is down to the CCG to commission and provide. We can only try to influence and persuade. To look back a few years, we had this service a while ago, but it was drastically cut back in 2012 to weekends only. At that time, our local councillors, particularly in Roxeth, in Roxbourne and Rayners Lane wards, together with our MP Gareth Thomas, campaigned vigorously to have the service restored, and they were successful in 2015. We now have a 7-day-a-week service, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., or 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and it's used this last year by 40,000 people. Now, I understand that the CCG are currently reviewing the contracts, looking at the usage of the service and the take-up of the service, but they've released no details at this point in time. It could be that one of the options being considered is reducing the number of patients or the opening hours, and your question suggests reducing the service by half. That would indeed raise a lot of questions, but I really don't want to speculate until I see firm proposals from the CCG. We do have a meeting of the Health and Wellbeing Board, which is where the council and all the health partners get together in a public forum. We have a meeting in the second week of March, and I have asked that the matter that you refer to be added to the agenda under any other business to ask for an update on this matter from the CCG and then to report back to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your effort behind this. However, since the Conservative government's changes to the NHS in 2013, Harrow has received the lowest level of funding per person of any London borough, and we are now seeing major cuts to local services because of this. Do you agree with me, Councillor Simon Brown, that the pressure our local NHS services are facing is because of insufficient funding from the Conservative government, and does he know whether we will, in Harrow, see any of that £350 million a week Boris Johnson promised us if we voted to leave the EU? Thank you.
I'm accustomed as I am to answering on behalf of Boris Johnson. I will say that the NHS and the CCG in Harrow is under pressure. You're quite correct, the funding is the lowest in London ahead for the CCG. We also have a population that's growing in increasing elderly population, an increasing number of 18 and 90 years old who have complex medical conditions and need support and our help, and it all puts pressure on the NHS. And I would love to be able to say to you, here is the funding necessary to run the NHS properly in Harrow, but really I can't say that to you until after the general election.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Goodwin Freeman, please. And could we be as brief as possible because we're a bit running over?
Of course, Madam Mayor, I'll try to be as brief as possible. Councillors, members of the gallery, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you before today. It's a rather personal question, but I'm afraid it's necessary. Let me tell you the honest story of thousands of mentally ill young people in Harrow, all failed by the services, failed by Harrow we live in right now. The only way any of them get any help is through working with them, bringing charities such as Mind in Harrow to their schools, to the youth centres they attend, bringing the people and services directly to them, giving them that push to reach out and take support. It takes a lot of courage to accept help, to admit you need support, and even greater to actually go through with it and take that helping hand. And I'm afraid I don't think anyone in this building knows that better than myself. As an 18-year-old guy who was diagnosed with clinical depression at the age of 12, self-harming by 14, and suicidal by 16, I have experienced all the talks and support out there. I now find myself in the fortunate position at 18, with an opportunity to make a real change in today's society for those young people who need it. There is no one more determined than myself to do so, to make this work. Therefore, my question is this: to all members of this council, to all members of all parties, to all members of the public listening, to all staff and workers present and beyond, to all who this message can reach, I ask you, would you be willing to meet with myself and the relevant individuals deemed necessary to work together on setting an agenda for 2018 and beyond that will be continued regardless of election results and personal agendas? All of us, each and every one of us working together on this, across Harrow, cross-party, cross-interest, to aid and only better the young people of this hub we call home, Harrow, their futures, their healths, and their lives. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Can I first say how brave you are. Thank you for sharing. I think everyone here is moved by the experiences you've had and the passion you've built. And I think everyone, whichever side, wants to be with you and help you. So absolutely, I'm willing to meet with you and whoever you feel. And I'm sure I'm going to... I look at the opposition. They are nodding, and you know this is not a political. Well, I think they as well. From the collapse you had from across the chamber, you can say that we are all with you. You know, this is a really important issue. And in September 2017, in this council, cross party, we passed a motion to take the mental health challenge and to appoint one of our councillors, the deputy mayor, and one of our officers, now the interim chief executive, as our mental health champions. They reported back in December on what they'd done in the first year, and we as a council signed the Time to Change pledge, and we launched it to residents in May 2017, an event in this building. We've partnered with Thrive London Initiative with the Mayor of London to improve mental health in the champion in the capital. I also think it's important, and that is why I was asked, and I've taken up the opportunity to chair the London-wide Thrive board to take this issue London-wide. So it is a matter that I think is really important, something that we all need to talk about. It is only by people like yourselves, anyone else who has had these problems to talk up about it, that we will remove this stigma. I applaud you on what you're doing. Yes, I want to work with you. Yes, I'd love to see what we can do together to get this service right.
Thank you, Eden. I'd just like to apologise for my emotions. The offer is there for anyone to take. It's on the record for all to read. Pull me aside or ask someone for my contact details and we can get this moving forward. As I said, party affiliations, personality disputes, differences of interest, let's put that aside. The lives and benefits of young Morovians is the priority. Anyone who wishes to join that will be warmly welcomed. Making a real difference is key. That's what I'm asking for. That's why I'm standing here, not afraid to speak out, as painful as the past may be. And I apologise that it has moved the council further than that was expected. But this has to be done. It has to be said. And I am one of thousands who need the council's help. Politics for the people, not personal politics. Anyone who wants to help, you are welcome. There's no need for a supplementary. Thank you to both of you.